great to be with you on this Thursday, the 14th of November. If you don't know, it is World Diabetes Day, and we've got a few people in the studio with us today to talk about diabetes. And also, we're going to be opening up the lines as well if you want to have got a question about the condition. Maybe something is happening with you in your life that you want to ask a question about. And as I said, the lines will be open, so you can give us a call on 3892 0188. That's the studio number, 3892 0188. But before we get underway and introduce who my guests are today, I'd like to firstly acknowledge traditional owners, the Yuggera, Jagera and Turrbal peoples. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community and non-Indigenous elders. Welcome to Let's Talk. You're with me, Karen Durante, on Let's Talk, which is broadcast on 98.9 FM, the National Indigenous Radio Service, and we're streamed live on the web at 98.9fm.com.au. And if you've got a smartphone, hopefully you've got our smartphone app as well, and you can listen to us on the 98.9 FM app as well. So, who have I got with me today to talk about World Diabetes Day, or at least talk about the issues surrounding it? I've got Trish Roderick, who's the Acting Health Service Manager for Diabetes Queensland. Good morning to you, Trish.
Good morning, Karen.
I've also got with me Deanne Minicon, who's a Program Manager with Diabetes Queensland. Presumably this is for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander programs, Deanne?
Yeah, that's correct. Good morning.
Good morning. And Grace Ward, who's an Aboriginal health worker with Diabetes Queensland.
Good morning, Karen.
Good to have you all along with us today. Firstly, if you don't mind, Trish, I'll put some questions to Deanne and to Grace. Deanne, tell us your mob, your country.
I'm living in Brisbane at the moment, but I'm originally from Cairns. My mother's family is from Torres Strait Island, so Darnley Island and Mubyog, and my father's family is around central Queensland, Gorang Gorang.
And Grace, what about you, your mob and your country?
Yes, well, I'm a Gamilaroi woman from St George. My family name is Knox, and we were sort of from the northern part of New South Wales and moved to St George probably about 70 years ago, the family.
All right. Well, Trish, we might put this question to you as well. Who are your mob? I mean, with a surname like Roderick, I'm just thinking of the tennis player.
Well, I'm from west of Brisbane, out in the Fassifern Valley. That's where my family is, and that's where I grew up.
Okay, cool. All right. And you're the Acting Health Service Manager for Diabetes Queensland. What exactly does that mean? What does that involve?
Well, that involves I support the health team at Diabetes Queensland. And the health team have got health professionals, diabetes educators, dietitians and program coordinators. And our role is to get out there in the community, raise awareness about diabetes and help to provide education information to the general public, people with diabetes and health professionals. So we've got a big thing to do, but we love our jobs and that's what we do.
And you're a diabetes educator yourself?
Yes, I'm a diabetes educator. I'm a nurse. The majority of diabetes educators are nurses, but other professions can also be diabetes educators like dietitians and pharmacists. So my role is to help people understand what is diabetes and to actually help them manage the condition and live with the condition every day out in the community.
And are you the individual, or does your profession, the one that goes into people's homes and helps them clean out their cupboards and gets rid of all the refined foods that are in there?
No, we don't actually do that. We don't police. But we do certainly go and visit people in their homes and where they're living, because that's people with diabetes and manage the condition outside of hospitals, outside of health centres. They're living with it. So we get out there and provide them information where they're at.
All right. When was the last time you did a home visit yourself, or are you too busy with the admin side of things now?
Well, before I came to Diabetes Queensland, I worked in private practice, and very much so, particularly people with mobility issues, older people, I would certainly go and visit them in their homes and assist them with their diabetes management.
All right. Deanne, what about you? So tell us a bit about the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander program and what your role is there.
So my role is two. I lead the statewide initiatives for Diabetes Queensland, but I also advise on the national development programs for diabetes as well across Australia. At the state level, I work very closely with Grace Ward, and what we do is tend to deliver diabetes programs that are targeted specifically at Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander consumers, clients, as well as support our workforce out there to be able to deliver diabetes messages effectively.
All right. And so you work hand-in-hand with Grace. So wherever Deanne is, Grace is not far behind. How long have you been a health worker there at Diabetes Queensland?
I've been there for 2 years now.
Okay.
And just to expand on Trish's statement about diabetes educators, Aboriginal health workers are also eligible to become diabetes educators. And this year I will have completed my grad cert in diabetes education and management, which I hope will... stand me in good stead to deliver more effective information out into the communities.
And people in your profession are often the first, individuals or health professionals, I guess, that an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person might approach and ask questions about diabetes?
That is correct. And I think the health workers out there in the communities play a vital role in getting the information out in that culturally appropriate way, and they're the people that the community know and trust, so they're really the sort of first port of call.
All right, well, let's talk about diabetes itself. What is it? Who wants to run with this one? Trish?
Okay, well, diabetes or diabetes mellitus refers to a group of conditions that come about because of high blood glucose levels or high sugar levels in the blood. This is because there is no insulin, the body produces no insulin, or the insulin it makes does not work properly. Diabetes, we have no cure for diabetes at this moment, and what we do is to work towards preventing type 2 diabetes. Now, there are many types of diabetes. The three main types are type 1, type 2, and gestational. But as I said, what we can do very much is to work to prevent type 2 diabetes. 85 to 90% of people with diabetes actually have type 2 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes, 10 to 15% of people have type 1 diabetes. Now, that comes about for a different reason. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune condition where the body wipes out the cells in the pancreas that produce insulin, and the person requires insulin to live. Okay. Type 2 diabetes comes about for different reasons. Often there's a strong family history. Age is a biggest risk factor for type 2 diabetes. And also lifestyle is implicated in the development of type 2 diabetes, and that's where we can look at reducing the risk of type 2 diabetes.
So with age, is that because the pancreas just gets tired of producing insulin?
Yeah. Look, as people over the age of 65 are still the most at high risk of developing type 2 diabetes, yes, type 2 diabetes can be seen almost as a wearing out process. The wearing out process can be pushed along by unhealthy lifestyles and sedentary behaviours, yeah.
Okay, so sedentary meaning not being active enough.
What
other lifestyle factors that put you at risk of developing type 2 diabetes?
Lifestyle factors that lead for people to be in an unhealthy weight range. So high intakes of sugary, high-fat foods, and then not balancing that with physical activity to wear it off can lead to weight gain, which can put you at risk of type 2 diabetes.
So is it just that, just the lack of exercise and the poor diet?
Those are the main things that contribute to weight gain, yes.
Okay. And so having said that, though, that means that it can be prevented.
Absolutely. And that's the message. Okay, with type 2 diabetes, as I said, age is the biggest risk factor.
Can't prevent age. Haven't found that fountain of youth yet.
We try.
The other risk factors that sit there are family history. Mm. So mums and siblings with type 2 diabetes, that puts you at extra risk as well. your cultural or ethnic background puts you at risk, increased risk of type 2 diabetes, and that's why it's very important that we're having these discussions this morning, because Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders are at a higher risk than non-Indigenous Australians of developing type 2 diabetes. Now, those things can't be changed, but what can be changed and what has a significant impact is those lifestyle behaviours. So reducing your risk means eating a healthy, balanced diet and getting physical activity every day. And if you are overweight, looking to bring your weight back into a healthy range for you.
Mm. Look, we are opening up the lines. Trish is a nurse and a diabetes educator as well. We've also got Grace Ward here, who's an Aboriginal health worker. So if you have got a question about diabetes, whether it's about type 2 diabetes, you're worried about developing it, or just wanting to know what kind of programs are available for you to access in Brisbane, I think we cover Queensland as well, so we might be able to point you to somewhere if you're calling from outside of Brisbane. So that number again is 3892 0188 if you want to call in today. Today is World Diabetes Day. It is funny, that song there made me think, because apparently illuminate World Diabetes Days, there might be some blue landmarks around. So, Trish, do we know if we're doing anything like that in Brisbane? Oh, we've got Marnie here. Marnie, tell us who's going blue today for World Diabetes Day?
The Queensland Performing Arts Centre actually turning blue for us.
Okay.
But around the nation, there's quite a few major landmarks and buildings
All right. That
turn blue for World Diabetes Day.
All right, cool banana. So check that out. I guess you can't see it right now, so you'll have to see it tonight.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, no worries then. As I said, we've got Trish Roderick here, Acting Health Service Manager for Diabetes Queensland. She's also a nurse and diabetes educator. Grace Ward, an Aboriginal health worker with Diabetes Queensland, and Deanne Minicon, who's a Program Manager for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Programs with Diabetes Queensland. And we've had Les phone in to share us his story. Well, not necessarily his story. So I think it's your wife's story with diabetes. Is that right, Les?
Yeah. So the wife, we're up in a high range of weight, and we decided to sort of go on a fitness thing and try and reduce some of the weight. And she's been type 2 for quite a while. She's on medication and stuff, but in the last probably 18 months, we've just been doing an exercise thing, and she's dropped a lot of weight, and she's going back to the doctor every so often now. But in the first 6 months, she took...
That's fantastic that your wife has been able to achieve that. That's hard work, and I think you need to be congratulated as well for supporting her to do that. It is wonderful, wonderful evidence that making lifestyle changes can help you to manage the diabetes better, and as a result of that, the doctor has been able to reduce the medication. So that's really, really positive.
And that's not uncommon, is it, for people to actually go off medication as a result of making those lifestyle changes, losing the weight and being more active?
Look, it's something that's very, very positive, and we'd support people to do that. And then these are the types of results that people can see. Type 2 diabetes is a progressive condition, and people may require medication after having the condition for a number of years. But it is possible, as you've said, Les, to actually, when incorporating like lifestyle changes like exercise, to actually reduce the medications you need to take. So that's a really positive message. Thanks, Les.
Thank you for phoning in. And by the way, if you are a bit shy and, not wanting to talk on the air with us, there is a helpline that you can call. Diabetes Queensland runs that. It's 1300 136 588. That's 1300 136 588. 0488 588. I'll repeat that number at the end of the show, just in case you don't have a pen and paper handy to write that down. We're going to hear from another caller, Barry, in just a moment. I'll have to give him a call back because he wanted to share his story with us. But if you do have another similar story like Les, or you do have a question about type 2 diabetes or maybe type 1 diabetes or gestational diabetes, I don't think we expanded too much on that. Did we, Trish, did you want to add some more about gestational diabetes?
Yeah, yeah. Certainly, Karen. Look, there are three main types of diabetes, type 1, type 2, and gestational diabetes. Now, gestational diabetes is the diabetes mums get when they're pregnant. Between 5 and 8% of mums here in Australia develop gestational diabetes during their pregnancy. Now, gestational diabetes usually goes away after the bubby is born. However, mums are at higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes down the track. So it's really important to have expert advice and support during pregnancy, but also to follow it up after pregnancy as well, and to continue to have regular checks.
How much, Deanne, is Gary and Evie modelled on those workshops that you hold around Queensland?
Yeah, those Got Sugar workshops that we deliver across Queensland, they're Theatre for Change programs that help people understand type 2 diabetes. So it is targeted at people with type 2 diabetes to help them understand some of the challenges around managing diabetes, and then discuss some of the solutions to managing the diabetes in their lives, and if not those people that have type 2 diabetes, but also their families or their community. So we try and get everyone together in a room and talk about those key issues.
Mm. Well, we've had Barry phone in, who I think is a Got Sugar workshop participant. Hello, Barry.
Morning, Karen. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I've got Deanne, Trish and Grace here from Diabetes Queensland. I understand that you took part in a workshop recently in Logan.
Yes, that's right. We had a good turnout there, and it was such an educational day. We really enjoyed it, and it's been able to make some changes in our lifestyle.
And how, is it you with diabetes?
No, my wife has got type 2 diabetes, and she's a Torres Strait Islander, and she comes from a big family with a family history of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
We're both overweight, but we're working on that. But it really opened our eyes, and we made a strong commitment following that workshop to cut out biscuits and cakes and change our diet and do more exercise.
Mm. It must be hard, though, because I think, you know, I'm a Torres Strait Islander, and there are certain foods that, you know, we just grew up on, like white rice, like turtle and all that other stuff. We like the seafood, but probably don't eat as much as we like to, especially us mainland Torres Strait Islanders. So has it been a big adjustment?
Well, that's the hard part. Like when I used to be the CEO of the medical centre, we brought out the Bunya cookbook, and we had so much trouble trying to find a healthy alternative to coconut milk. And everyone loves coconut curry chicken and coconut fish, and it's just so hard to change your diet from there.
Mm.
But I think the main thing is if you eat it in moderation and you still get involved in exercise.
So what are you and the missus doing for exercise then?
Well, she's bought a lot of exercise and equipment, so she has, Saturday morning.
Well, fantastic, Barry. Thanks for sharing your story, and good luck with you and the missus there. And I guess, what prompted you to go to the workshop? Is it wanting to be around for your grannies and that sort of thing?
Yes, that's right. You know, we're both in our 60s now, lifestyle.
Well, Barry, thanks so much for your phone call, and good luck with it, as I said.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. Thank you, girls.
That's another positive story there from Barry. And, that support seems to be crucial, you know, that you if you're part of a family, you can't really do it alone and make these lifestyle changes if someone, you know, is still sort of, going with the coconut curry, chicken and everything like that.
And what Barry was saying there about looking at smaller portion sizes, that's the whole family thing. It's really tough if mum dishes out a great big meal You know, it's hard to say no. So if everybody's having a slightly less, smaller portion sizes, you can still enjoy the food you like, but have less of it. That's a good message.
Any other tips as well that you can share with us today? I mean, using smaller plates, I heard, is another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Smaller plates. Having an understanding of actually how much is on your plate, but also doing a bit of a swap for things. When Barry was talking about coconut milk, you can still sometimes get the same flavour by using alternatives like
milk and coconut essence.
Yeah, low-fat milk and coconut essence. So sometimes it's about swapping. Sometimes it's about getting smaller portion sizes. Sitting down and enjoying a meal and enjoying the family around the table rather than perhaps sitting in front of the telly and maybe not noticing actually how much food you're eating at the one time. So making a meal an important part of the day can also help to reduce how much you're eating.
Now, with these Got Sugar workshops, is that the only way that you're engaging with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as an organisation?
For consumers, that's one opportunity in terms of engaging with Aboriginal Islander people with type 2 diabetes. We also have Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health workshops where we run them annually. It means that what Grace was talking about earlier is skilling up our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health workforce to be able to deliver those key messages. And some of the things that we do in those workshops are deliver some training around diabetes using a resource called Feltman. And Feltman was developed in Victoria through the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service down there, VACHO, as well as the Victorian Diabetes Service. And so that allows us then to be able to show, it's a big felt man, about how diabetes works. Is there anything else, Grace?
No, just to say how effective that tool is because it's so visual. And we've found from evaluations from our workshops that people's understanding of what diabetes is, because a lot of people don't know, you know, they're diagnosed with diabetes and they're thinking, well, what's this? And a lot of people don't realise how serious it is until they lose a limb or, you know, they start going blind from it. So it's a great tool to show them what's happening in their body, and then that's followed up on the good management skills to reduce it.
My grandmother, she lost both limbs to type 2 diabetes, so it's certainly an issue that, you know, as a family, we've been aware of. But, you know, how much, you know, what is the knowledge level out there amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? And is it still that mindset that, well, it's inevitable, I'm going to get it?
I think a lot of people do believe that. They see it in their family and they're not aware of what they can do to prevent that. So we've found, I think, through our quizzes that we do at these workshops, sort of just to gauge the level of knowledge, it's not too bad, but I think it can be improved. And I know after one of our Feltman sessions that that does address all those things. We also start the workshop off with what do you want to know? And, you know, what are the myths out there? And we found that a really valuable way to start it off because we're addressing exactly what they need to know.
And those health workers that you encounter, do any of them have type 2 diabetes?
Some of them do, but I find from talking to them that family members do anyway.
So, okay. Yeah, so they're committed familiar. To wanting to get that message out there about how to, you know, one, prevent it or manage it if you have it.
Given the seriousness of it and given the, you know, the high level that of people that do have it, I'm sure that's one of their priorities.
We've had another caller phone in this morning. Who's that? Hello?
Hey, how you going?
Good, thank you. It's Karen here. Who have we got?
Hi, Karen. Eric here.
Hi, Eric. How you doing?
Good. I just heard you talking about Feltman.
Ah, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I was at the Got Sugar workshop as well, and Feltman is the man.
Good on you, Eric.
I want to meet this felt man now.
Yeah, no, I've had diabetes since about 2007 or 8, or diagnosed then.
Yeah. What made you go to the doctor to get checked out, Eric?
Where was I? I was working up the Cape and I just one day I wake up ready for shot two.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's a good feedback there, Deanne. What's the name? How did you find out about the workshop, Eric?
Oh, I made it through Deanne and through family stuff.
So good old word of mouth there, the grapevine, the Murray grapevine?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when was that workshop anyway? How long ago was it?
I think that was a September workshop in Logan.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had a great, fantastic turnout, like they said. And Eric did give us some really positive feedback about the understanding diabetes, you know, through the use of felt men and understanding that glucose was sugar. So when we're calling, you know, got sugar, well, what does glucose mean in all of this? So just understanding what diabetes means was really important for people like Eric.
Mm-hmm. And Eric, what have you done in the, you know, 2 months since the workshop that you participated in?
Not much different to what I was doing before. I think I started exercising as soon as I got diagnosed.
Yep.
But I was exercising the wrong way. So now I've adjusted a little bit, the exercise routine. Eating, I guess, but I think smoking is my biggest one because I used to smoke about 25, 30 smokes a day. And since then, I've been cutting down. I'm probably down to under 10 a day now. Give it another month or so, be under 5. I reckon that's my sort of target.
All right. And by January 1, 2014, you'll be off them. No pressure?
No pressure. Well, that's the thing about, you know, you walk into doctors or you walk into someone else or you talk to someone, they go, you got to give up smoking and that's it. So, the smoking's going pretty good.
All right. Well, thanks for phoning in, Eric, and telling us your story.
Thank you. Yeah, that's cool. Have a good morning, eh?
You too.
Okay, see you later,
ladies.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Eric.
Bye.
So how can you exercise the wrong way? I'm just curious. Maybe not exercising enough. I'm not sure, but, you know, that's a rhetorical question. I'm sure you don't have to answer that. But it is fantastic to hear people who have got the condition or those who are supporting someone with it to hear their stories, that it's not all necessarily... Like the three callers that we've had, they don't sound like death warmed up, if you know what I mean, you know.
Mm. No, indeed. And I think what we've heard this morning is people who have wanted to know more about the condition, have taken on board some of the information, and the Got Sugar workshops are fantastic for actually bringing that information to people and allowing them to ask questions and get some clear understanding and some clear answers. What was interesting about the last call was talking about the symptoms of diabetes. Mm. With type 2 diabetes, many people do not have symptoms and therefore they need to be aware of their risk factors so they can talk to their doctor and have checks. But there are some symptoms of type 2 diabetes and actually of diabetes type 1 as well. But the symptoms are increased thirst, going to the toilet, passing urine more frequently, getting blurred vision, feeling really tired and lethargic. And I think that's what Eric was just saying then. He felt very tired and lethargic. A slow healing of cuts and wounds, and even leg cramps can indicate that there's something going on. So sometimes people think, oh, look, that's just my stressful life, or I'm getting a little older now, or it's hot, that's why I'm drinking more. But I would suggest if you have those symptoms or a combination of those symptoms, please get it checked out just to see if you have diabetes.
How often should you screen for diabetes?
Well, screening for diabetes, if you have got risk factors of diabetes, it's important to probably touch base with your doctor at least every 12 months if you've got a high risk factors.
So when you go in for your annual health check, make sure
you
ask about getting the... Yeah.
And I think it's really on doctors' radars these days, very much so. But in between time, if you do have these symptoms, go and see the doctor.
All right. What's involved in a diabetes test?
Well, what will happen to get hard evidence whether a person has diabetes or a pre-diabetes condition, the doctor will need to do a blood test, a fasting blood test. Certainly, if you explain your symptoms, the doctor may be able to talk about it immediately with you, but they will need to follow it up with a blood test to confirm the diagnosis.
You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. Karen Durante with you, and I'm joined this morning by Trish Roderick, who's the Acting Health Service Manager with Diabetes Queensland, Deanne Minicon, who's the Program Manager for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Programs, and Grace Ward, who's an Aboriginal health worker. And Eric just phoned us back just to explain to us what the wrong exercise that he was doing. It was basically he was spending an hour in the gym, but not getting his heart rate up, which I guess is important to burning calories and all that sort of jazz. So, Eric, thanks for ringing back and clearing that up for us. Just wanted to check, like Eric talked about Feltman there and what a great little, you know, that sort of dropped the penny for him. What about other resources that Diabetes Queensland have got available, particularly for our mob?
Yes, well, we have a range of culturally appropriate resources. A lot of them came from Diabetes Victoria. They're pictorial guides, so we try to put a lot of pictures in our resources. They're different booklets explaining what diabetes is, how to manage your foot care. We also have fact sheets, brochures, which encourage you to join the NDSS because of the benefits that you get from the NDSS.
Mm-hmm.
Wallet cards we developed with Cambu, and they are just little cards where you can keep a check on when your checkup is due,
yep,
or what your blood glucose or blood pressure is, just to keep a check so you've got it all there in on a card in your wallet.
And you know, and Diabetes Queensland doesn't deliver Got Sugar workshops on its own throughout Queensland. You've got partners.
Yes, we do. We partner with Natural Indigenous Performing Arts, which is Anthony Newcastle, and it was developed with Mick Adams as well, who's part of Fine Line Consultancy. So the three companies together got together, developed Got Sugar, and that's where you get the diabetes component plus the Theatre for Change, which is all about solution-focused around managing your diabetes.
And we've been talking about the Logan workshop, but you've delivered workshops in Cape York. Did you just do one recently?
Yeah, up in August we went up to Hope Vale and Woodjawjal, and so we were able to talk about what are some of the challenges up there, and those challenges include things around food supply. So while we encourage people to eat healthy, in some places, even in urban areas, it is sometimes difficult to get, in Arakoon was the other place that we have delivered. It is difficult to get healthy food or access to in terms of affordability and access. And so we encourage people to think about the alternatives, the things that Trish had mentioned previously. So they're like tinned and frozen fruit and vegetables, but also using your traditional bush foods as well if you can get access to it. So they're the important things around food supply.
And the other thing too, this came up in a discussion I was having with Priscilla Gibson from Upanipama. And she's from Hope Vale, and she'd been talking about the Beat It program that she'd been delivering for a community in Hope Vale, and you know, some of the barriers to being active, you know, the built environment and the other environmental factors around you. She's talking about horses and dogs and that sort of thing.
Animal management is a big issue. And not just animal management, because people say, oh, why don't you just go for a walk? Well, it's really difficult when you've got those sort of dog problems or cattle problems. But also pathways are really important so that you're not falling over or tripping. If you're an older person, they, you know, falls might be a bit of a problem. Lighting, water, shade, all those things are really important to try and encourage people to become more physically active. And that's not just in remote areas, that's for urban areas as well, because when you think about safety as an issue, it comes up in all parts of your community, all communities, I guess. So we really do need to think about those sorts of things. And that's how the Beat It program became available. So it's a group-based program that's indoors, and then people are able to exercise together in a safe environment.
How closely does Diabetes Queensland actually work with other health organisations like, you know, a health service like Upanipama? What about here in southeast Queensland? We've got our, you know, community-controlled Indigenous health organisations. Do you have great relationships with them? I guess, you know, when dealing with this kind of issue, particularly Yeah.
It definitely. And with Got Sugar, what we try to do in most communities is link with our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Community Controlled Health Service or even the Medicare locals just to try and work together to be able to deliver. But allow that whole, that's important in making sure that people who come to our workshops have access to those services and know exactly who they need to go and talk to when they're managing their diabetes. And so that's really important to partner with those services. But also services like yourself, Karen, you know, 98.9 FM, delivers our messages around Got Sugar as well. And so they're important where people can't come to our workshops. We have these radio plays to allow people to get those messages around diabetes as well.
We'll have one more to round up the hour in just a moment. But how do you decide where to go? I mean, do you and Grace get together, have a big map of Queensland on there and, you know, go, get a pin and go, all right, that's where we're going next?
Well, Grace normally contacts the community. We also, when we first started out, it was about having Dr. Mick Adams come along with us and negotiate where we should be going as well. And so that's the important part of that partnership with Fineline and Natural. But Grace has a really good connection to community. She, with our health worker workshops, we're able to promote Got Sugar as well. But nowadays, like now that we've done so many workshops, people are actually coming to us and saying, can you please deliver the workshop? So for Redcliffe, which we delivered only on Tuesday, it was the health service came to us and said, we'd like Got Sugar to be delivered. We'd heard all about it in Logan. Could you please run one in Redcliffe? So we had one on the north side. So now people are asking for Got Sugar, which is fantastic for
us. Right. So can they ring that helpline to get Got Sugar to come to them?
Yeah, or they can ring the helpline or they can talk directly to Grace, who would be able to negotiate whether or not we're able to do a workshop. We only run for a year, so we're very particular about where we hold them so that we make sure that we've, you know, got a good spread.
All right. Well, we've got a minute before we have to play Gary and Wayne at the football. So a quick wrap-up about World Diabetes Day. Although we've been talking about type 2 diabetes, the focus this year is actually on type 1.
Yes. For Diabetes Queensland this year, we've decided to focus on raising awareness around type 1 diabetes. And the campaign which we have launched is looking at busting the myths around type 1 diabetes. For instance, one of the main myths is that you can't get that you can get type 1 diabetes from eating too much sugar. Now that's a myth. You don't get type 1 diabetes from eating too much sugar or sugary drinks. It's not preventable and there is no cure. The other big myth that we want to bust is that type 1 diabetes isn't just diagnosed in children. Yes, children are most often diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. However, type 1 diabetes can be diagnosed in adulthood as well.
Right. Well, I was saying that we're hoping to play a Got Sugar message, but that kind of it hasn't left us enough time to play one. But look, keep listening to the station. You are bound to hear a Got Sugar message on 98.9 FM. I'd like to thank Trish for coming along today. Trish, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Karen. It was a pleasure.
Trish Roderick, who's the Acting Health Service Manager for Diabetes Queensland. Deanne Minicon, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Program Manager. Thank you.
Yep.
And to Grace Ward, who's the Aboriginal Health Worker there with Diabetes Queensland.
Thank you, Karen. And Got Sugar will be coming to Mackay in early 2014.
Okay, can I come? Just putting it out there. And by the way, if you were too shy to phone in this morning to ask a question about diabetes, you can call the Diabetes Queensland helpline, which is 1300 136 588. That's 1300 136 588. And if you are in Brisbane and you happen to be around the South Bank precinct, make sure you check out the QPAC building. That should be turning blue later tonight to put the light on, I suppose, World Diabetes Day. Thank you once again for coming into the studio. And thank you as well to our callers for phoning in and sharing your stories. We really appreciate it and appreciate you as well for listening to Let's Talk. I'll get you tomorrow.